I'm Denise. I'm an addict.
Hey, Denise.
And so it's going to be the smallest meeting of the entire convention. But it's okay because, you know, I've learned some things around here since I've been clean. And, you know, I'll just share this story once. I was asked to lead a thing for a massage therapist on self-care and meditation and stuff like that. And what happened is there was only two people signed up. And it was a lot of work. Right, I had to prepare. It was a half a day workshop and stuff like that. And the whole time, I just wanted to drop out. I just wanted to be like, this is not worth my time. Right, but I didn't do that because I learned you make a commitment, you show up. It doesn't matter if there's one person or 10,000 people. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that you made a commitment and you're going to follow through. So I did follow through, and I went there, and it was two ladies, and it was great, and it was, you know, it was like whatever. I didn't make a lot of money or anything like that. But what ended up happening, you see, it wasn't just two people there; it was the right people. Because the lady who was there, I wanted to teach at this other bigger school, right? Well, she was best friends with the continuing education instructor at the other institute. And she sent him an email and told him how wonderful my workshop was, and then I got hired to work there. And so what I know is I never, it chokes me up, because what I know is that I'm always where I'm supposed to be. As long as I'm paying attention, and even when I'm not paying attention, I'll fall in the right hole. That's what, you know, how my life has been. And even when I don't think that it is, in hindsight, and sometimes I'm still mad about how it is, but at the end of the day, I can usually say that, okay, this is how it was supposed to be. And it's been an amazing journey. I want to share a little bit. I think Amy probably might know some of this, but you know, so my meditation journey started a long time ago. I was raising a daughter, I was going to school, I was a single parent. I had my parents, although my parents were helping me, they really weren't financially supporting me. I wasn't making a lot of money. It was a very stressful time. And let's not forget about the bad relationship that I had, laying around somewhere. And I remember, I didn't have a lot of clean time, and I definitely was not on the 11th step by any means. And I just remember that I was really panicked and frantic, and I was in my kitchen, and something told me, a voice inside said, if you could just be still and you could just be quiet, you'd be okay. And so I set the timer on my microwave, because we didn't have cell phones. I set the timer on my microwave, and I laid on my kitchen floor, and I made a commitment to not move for 3 minutes. And that became this amazing journey of not just meditation, but prayer meditation and all the amazing things that I've done. And the truth is, it was the truth. There is a voice, I'm getting all choked up because it's so powerful. Right, that this mixed up drug addict trying to get recovery could have that powerful of an insight. That has led me down a journey that has been unbelievable. And so I did that, and I did it frequently, and I still do it today. I always teach this meditation because it's not how long, it's not how deep, it's none of that. It's just that we simply do it. And so I called it the microwave meditation until we had cell phones, and now I call it the cell phone meditation because you can just set the timer. But on any given day, I'll just be spiritual timeout. And I personally to lay on the floor. It makes me feel grounded, it makes me feel secure, it makes me feel safe, and I just drop 3 minutes, that's it, time out, and reset. Sometimes I forget. But I think that it's a very powerful meditation. And so what ended up happening for me is, you know, I started reading about meditation. I started to go to meditation workshops. So then the next thing you know, I'm in a 500-hour yoga training. First, I became a massage therapist, you know, through a series of all intuitively higher power guided, right? I'm working for a large corporation. I'm like some kind of a secretary to a vice president. I'm in a cubicle and I'm really unhappy. I'm now have a full-blown eating disorder. I'm binging and purging. I need to get help. So I go off to this treatment center in Florida and I'm in ARC therapy. Right here I am. I'm 9 years clean. I'm in ARC therapy. I'm miserable. I feel like this NA shit just ain't paying off. Like, but I'm committed to staying clean. Right. I'm going to meetings. I have a sponsor. I have a home group. I'm working steps. I'm helping people work steps. I'm doing all these things, and I'm miserable. Right. Another layer. So I end up, and I think it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me, right? Again, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I'm in this treatment center, right? Don't you know who I am? And so I'm in ARC therapy for whatever, and I'm gluing this stuff on this paper because I'm such a joy to be around. I can't imagine why my life is a wreck, right? I'm so happy. Now I'm not, right? So anyway, I'm thinking my back is killing me, and I'm like, I really could get a massage, right? So I cut out this picture of a massage, the word massage, and then it comes to me. I'm like, I'm going to be a massage therapist. That's what I'm going to do. When I leave here, I'm quitting my job, taking my 401k, and I'm going to massage therapy school, and that's it. And that's how it came to me, period. And that's what I did. I left there. My family thought, oh, well, that treatment place really helped. Yeah, she's quitting her job, she's taking her money, right? And I went waiting tables. No, that was a wrong turn right there, but I survived. They survived. It's the only job I ever walked out on and clean. I said, take this job, and you know where you could, I'm going to meditate or something. So I began this journey with massage. I didn't have any idea what I was getting into. I knew that I liked massage. Who doesn't like massage, right? So when I go there, though, they start talking about this thing called the energetic body. Right? They talk about vibrations. Right? We breathe and meditate before we take exams. Like, we lay on the floor and study. Like, it was a whole world began to open up to me. And I started to become really in touch with not only who I was, the body, mind, and spirit connection, and not just who I was as a body, not just who I was mentally, but who I was spiritually, right? And what kind of makes that all, how do I get back on the right vibration? It was the most amazing time, you know, in my life. And I'm still a massage therapist today, like I'm going on 26 years later. You know, fast forward, I'm doing another meditation at like 48 years old. I hear this voice that says, you should go to yoga training and be a yoga teacher, right? Again, you know, my family is kind of looking at me like I'm crazy, and that's what I do. And I had no idea. Well, the first day that I went there, I was with all these young people, and we had to do, like, I don't know if anybody's familiar with sun salutations, but we had to do like 101 of them. And I went home and I was like, this is a cult. I don't know what I've gotten myself into, but again, right? I learned in Narcotics Anonymous that you make a commitment. Now, I have like 4 hours in, 500 hours, and I'm like, I made a commitment. I'm doing the other 496 hours of training, right? Because I'm committed. And I mean, I'm just telling you what an amazing journey it's been. And so I've been teaching for probably I don't know, 13 years or some odd years like that. I've been teaching a lot of meditation. I teach more meditation and stuff. I'm teaching yoga in my house now because I have a private studio. I've been teaching people for free. Like, I don't know why. I'm like, if you do what you love, the money will come. I don't know where it comes from, but it does. You know what I mean? And so I've just been teaching my friends, especially since the pandemic. Whatever I teach, I just do it, and, you know, it is what it is. So, what I wanted to talk about a little bit about is, so meditation isn't something, like when I thought meditation was something Narcotics Anonymous thought of. Like, that's how high I was when I got here, right? I didn't realize that, like, no. We didn't come up with this. This didn't arrive in step 11. And so, and, you know, somewhere along the line, like, so there's this guy called Patanjali's, right? And so a lot of my training is through yoga and through Buddhism. And, you know, I was sharing a little bit about that in the beginning. I've done all traditions. That's not part of Narcotics Anonymous. But it does say in our literature that, okay, it says, we may wonder if our sponsor is going to inform us that we must pray or meditate in a particular way. Before we get carried away with such fears, we would do well to remember one of the basic principles of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous, our absolute and unconditional freedom to believe in any higher power we choose, and of course, our right to communicate with a higher power in whatever way conforms to our individual beliefs. Although some of us practice a traditional religion, only rarely do we hear specific religions discussed in our meetings. We respect the rights of our members to form their own spiritual beliefs and tend to frown on anything with potential to dilute the spiritual message of recovery. It says we may not be aware of the many options that are open to us. Searching these options out and exploring their usefulness to us can be uncomfortable and time-consuming. It is only by being open-minded and by taking action that we are likely to find what is right for us individuals. We may experiment with a whole assortment of practices until we find something that doesn't feel foreign or contrived. So we have the right here to, many of us have adopted an eclectic approach, borrowing our practices from a variety of sources and combining those which provide us the greatest comfort and enlightenment. So it's in our literature that it is okay. We're supported in going out and searching out meditation. And so there's this book called The Yoga Sutras, and Patanjali's, it's like goes back at least 4,000 or 5,000 years old. He wrote the first written text. And it's not about yoga. What I want to reference is they're called sutras, but that means thread or lessons. And so in his second one, he talks about, so this is ancient, right? And what this confirmed for me was that since the beginning of time, the human being has been attempting to quiet the mind. This is not new to us. It's not new to the addict. And, you know, the whole, every human being that walks the earth could probably use it. So anyway, I'm going to say it in Sanskrit, it says yoga chitta vritti nirodha. But what it means is that it means to sedate the mind chatter, right? And what he says in here is so important. He said, he has 200 threads, but he said, for the keen student, if you could master this one, all the other ones are about mastering this one, quieting the mind chatter of the mind, quieting the way. So the mind stuff, right? Refraining the mind stuff. And it says, as the mind, so the man, bondage or liberation are in their own mind. If you feel bound, you are bound. If you feel liberated, you are liberated. So it's all in the mind. And how, and so, although my mind is not quiet all the time, it's not running around like a wild stallion anymore, right? And I've been able to make a lot of changes through being able to slow down. So it's kind of like a snow globe, right? When you shake it, the snow is never really gone, but it kind of slows down. And so when people say, I can't meditate, I'm like, neither can I, really. You know, the mind is like a beast. So what is meditation? You know, meditation, the word meditation is a lot like the word sport. Okay, so I say, I'm going to go meditate. And you're like, well, I'm going to go play a sport. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to play soccer, tennis, football? I'm going to a sporting event. So if you say you're going to go and meditate, I mean, it could mean anything, right? It could mean you're sitting in silence. It could mean you're chanting. It could mean you're silently doing mantra in your head. It could be you could be laying down and listening to a guided meditation. You know, so it's all these things. And not only is meditation good for the mind, right? It's good for the body because it lowers the blood pressure, right? It lowers our heart rate, all those things. The other thing that I want to touch on is it talks about, in here he has a section that talks about the obstacles, the things that set us up for failure. And I think they're important to talk about when we talk about meditation. So he talks about laziness, false perception, failure to reach firm ground, slipping from firm ground. He talks about disease, mental distractions, and things like that. That those are the things that set us up, right, for not being able to do it. He also talks about in here how sometimes when we're not healthy physically, then it's hard to sit and quiet the mind. Like if you just binged out on like a gallon of ice cream, right, and then you're going to go meditate. Like the body, there's a fitness in the body that needs to happen that correlates with meditation. And hand in hand, right, the body, mind, and spirit connection. You know, I think the other thing that's really important when we meditate is, like people say, well, I meditate when I'm riding my motorcycle, or I meditate when I'm walking, and that's all great. But what I think is really important is when I meditate, I actually say I'm beginning meditation. I'm ending meditation. It's a time that's blocked, right? Even if it's 3 minutes, whatever it is, it's acknowledged and realized that this is what I'm doing. I'm meditating. Otherwise, we're off. And the other thing about meditation too is, and you're going to see that as we're going to start to do some little meditative practices, is that it's also important that if you commit to a certain meditation for a certain amount of time, that you don't go and just change up in the middle. Because it's about discipline. Meditation, because the mind will say, oh no, let's do this. Let's go over here. And what we need to say as we're meditating is, this is my commitment for whatever, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, a half an hour, right? So, you know, like I went to, did a meditation course. It was 10 days. It was silent. I sat in meditation an hour at a time for 9 hours a day, 8-9 hours a day. And like, it's commitment. Right. So then when I leave there, well, what does that serve? Well, when I leave there and I want to change something in my life, I have some discipline. I don't listen to my mind. When my mind says, do that, I can say, wait a minute, I think that might be a lie. The most powerful thing I learned by sitting in meditation all that time was that 90% of what my brain was telling me was a lie. It was telling me you can't do it. It was baking cakes and singing songs, and because it just wanted to chatter. And really, I had nothing else to do. I didn't have a phone. I couldn't talk, none of that. Right? I just needed to sit there and be quiet, but the brain was relentless. I also learned that you can go off into the mountains and meditate, and when you come home, someone can still drive a car through your fence. Okay, because somebody drove a car through my fence. Like, it didn't fix everything. There is no fix. There is no fix. It's just a daily practice, right? It's a daily recovery. So, what we're going to do first, before we start to, you know, when it does one last thing, it does say in our literature that prayer meditation is like food and water. And so it's really, really an important part of my life and my recovery. And so I hope that I've given you some insight that will help you continue to move forward. So what we're going to do first is, like, you know, we get up in the morning. Sometimes it's really easy to sit because you're just getting out of bed. I don't do long meditations in the morning. I have, but I don't say much anymore. So I just want you guys just to stand up for a minute. We're just going to shake our body out. So nothing hard. You're just going to shake your right leg, right? Shake your left leg. Shake your right arm. Yeah. Shake your left arm. Right hand. You shake it all around. We're going to, it's a hokey pokey workshop. So if you're listening to this on tape, you're just shaking your body out. Just let your chin drop down. Maybe you got a little stress in your neck. And then just make a little circle to the right. And a little, yeah, the other way. Just let your shoulders roll back. And a little forward. And then go ahead and just take your eyes up to 12 o'clock, and you're going to make a circle all the way around the clock with your eyes. And then go ahead and take your eyes the other way. And then just squeeze your face up and then just release. You can shake your hands out. All right, you can have a seat. So if you can and you feel comfortable, it's probably best. You can lean back if you need to, but yeah, it's kind of best if you sit up. We're not going to do super long meditations. We're going to do some short ones. So I talked about 3-minute microwave meditation. So what we're going to do first is we're just going to sit silently, right? And you're going to go, this is your 3-minute time, spiritual timeout meditation. And so you could focus on, you can make a choice. You can focus on your breath. You can maybe focus on your heartbeat. You can maybe focus on your feet. Pick something, and for 3 minutes, you're going to stay there. If thoughts come in, you're going to say to yourself, thank you, I'm back. You know, you're not going to be like, oh, what an idiot I am. None of that, right? It's just simply coming back to whatever you committed to, right? Whether it's just feeling your breath or feeling your heart, it's going to be for 3 minutes. I just want you all to see what that feels like. Yes, you're going to find one thing and focus on it for 3 minutes. Okay, this is because you kind of missed the intro, but yeah, this is just a tool that's like, okay, I can't, no, 3 minutes, everyone can do 3 minutes. So we're just going to see what 3 minutes feels like in silent, and you're going to pick and just do your own thing. Yep. Okay, so go ahead and close your eyes, feel your feet on the floor, and I'm going to be completely silent. We're all just going to be completely silent, and we're going to start now. Okay, you can open your eyes. So how did that feel? Did it feel long? Did it feel short? Was it easy? Was it hard?
Actually felt short.
Okay, that's good. Sometimes it could feel like a second and sometimes it could feel like an hour. Just depends on where you are at that time. Right. The other thing, too, that's worth noting when we meditate, you know, we have the stress response in our body and then we have the relaxation response, and it's really hard to have both of them at the same time. So as soon as we go into that relaxation meditation mode, like the stress automatically starts to dissipate. At least, you know, that's what, in my experience, and that's what the professionals say. So the other thing, so the next meditation that we're going to do is what I wanted to do was, which I find is very interesting, is that a lot of people, including myself, and still can be, we're out of touch with what the powerful abilities of our body, right? So the body is amazing. And so I want to share with you something that I found incredibly amazing and is a really cool thing to do in meditation. So I noticed that some of you were holding your hands like this. So this would be called a mudra in yoga. And you know, the Catholic Church has them. Most all faiths have some type of hand mudras. Not just because we want to do something with our hands, but because there is significance. And I wanted to share that with you guys because I didn't know this for a very long time. So we're going to use breath as a vehicle of meditation, and we're going to use our hands. And so we're going to start out just by with our hands separate, right? And then we're going to start by just breathing in and out. Some people can only breathe three, in for three and out for three. We'll start with that, but then we're going to try to expand it a little bit to make the breath. The breath will be the tool, the vehicle that is basically, I call it tying the horse to the post. So you're tying the mind to something to focus on. Okay, but then what we're going to do is we're going to take our pinkies, right? We're going to do our pinkies first, and I'll tell you when to do it, and then we're going to breathe, and I want you to notice where the breath is in your body. And then we're going to go through each finger, and then we're going to do all the fingers at once as we're breathing, and I want you to just pay attention in your body and see if you can notice what's happening, okay? And if you haven't done it before, sometimes it's really hard to notice what's going on. I want everybody to just really feel like what it feels like to be in your body. So go ahead and close your eyes, place your hands on your legs. And let's just all take a deep breath in and go inside. Deep breath in. And then closing the mouth, breathing in through the nose, in and out through the nose. You're going to breathe in through the nose, in through the nose for one, two, three, and hold. And then out. Breathing in. Noticing the transition from inhale to exhale, really noticing how you're breathing, exhaling. Inhaling and exhaling. And then go ahead and press your pinky fingers together. And just find your own rhythm of breathing in and out. You can count, you can breathe in to three, out for three. Just see if you can notice where your body's moving. And then release your pinky and press your ring finger together, your ring fingers together. Maybe your breath is expanding now to the count of four in and four out. Release your ring fingers and go ahead and press your middle fingers together. Maybe you're expanding your breath to five on the inhale and five on the exhale. Always bringing your mind back to your breath. You can count if that helps. Noticing where your body is moving. The middle finger and press the pointer fingers together. Release your index finger, then go ahead and press all 10 fingers together. Breathing in if you can, breathing in for five. Noticing the breath as it's moving in and out of your body like a liquid filling your body. Breathing in and breathing out. Always coming back to your breath. If you need to count to focus, breathing in for one, two, and so on. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes, blink them open, release your hands. So did anybody feel what was going on? Anybody notice? Yeah. What was your experience with the fingers? All that oxygen. Did anybody feel what was happening in their bodies with the difference?
Peaceful.
There's actually something, I'm looking for what actually physically was going on in the body, not the mind.
It was a little stressful.
Was it stressful?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had to work
at it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, it's hard to breathe. That's why. So what is really happening, and I don't know if anybody, so you can try it at home, but when you press your fingers together, it breathes in a different part of your body. Okay, so the pinky fingers, the breath is low. And as you move through the fingers, the breath gets higher in your chest. Right? And then when you press them all together, you're breathing through from pubic bone to collarbone, okay, which creates a fuller breath. So it's just a technique that can move the breath in the body, because if you were hyperventilating, you could have someone press their fingers, pinky fingers together and breathe, and it drops the breath down. So if you try to get it home and really sit and feel it, it takes a little practice to really feel what's going on in your body. So the five fingers together, that's a meditation that is good for freaking out. So if you're at work and you're freaking out, you put all your fingers together, and you breathe in for five and out for five, and that will manage freakouts. I do that one a lot, and I don't freak out nowhere near as much as I used to. So I think what happens is, and even in yoga classes, sometimes people think that they're putting their hands together just because it looks a certain way, but every movement of the hands has a specific meaning and an energetic thing. So our hands are very powerful. And I'm a massage therapist, so I wanted to just throw a little power out there to the hands. So the next thing and the final thing that we're going to do is I'm just going to guide you through a guided meditation where you're going to scan your body, feel some sensations, and I'm going to do a little bit of healing. Yeah, sure.
From the center, what is that?
Well, but all your fingers are pressing together, so that I'm sure that has, it has, I don't know, I'd have to look it up exactly what this means, but I'm sure it has something to do with the heart. I'm sure it facilitates the breath. There's hundreds of mudras, and they all have different meanings. It's a science and a study all of its own. You could study this stuff till eternity, right? And we want to, in 3 minutes, be like, I can't meditate. So it's a 5,000-year-old journey, and it's endless amounts of topics and research. And what my goal today was to just give you this little experience of my experience, and then you can go find your own experience, and to just help you to maybe get out of your head a little bit, get in your body, and maybe have a few minutes of silence to see, I said in the beginning that I went from a 3-minute meditation to 10-day courses and silence and life-changing. So, but in my regular life, I'm just like everybody else. I'm like, do I have a minute? I have a minute. And a minute is better than nothing, right? A minute of meditation is just, it's enough. It's enough. Okay, so go ahead and get your seat. If you need to lean back, that's fine. And then if you can, you can put your feet. Maybe check out where your feet are. Your feet straight? Are they sitting on the floor? Because sometimes we're it's hard to meditate if you're not kind of in the right posture. And you could do, laying down is good too, because some people just don't want to sit, sit up against the wall. So go ahead and close your eyes. And just bring your awareness to the chair that you're sitting in. I think no matter what is going on in our lives, if we can bring ourselves back to where are my feet, where are your feet? Where am I sitting? Where are you sitting? Notice your feet on the floor. Notice your butt in the chair. Bring your awareness up to the top of your head. And feel whatever sensations. What do you feel? Tingling, warm, vibration, maybe a little like humming a little bit, maybe. Whatever it is, it's not to be judged. You're the witness. So just witness what is happening in your body. Bring your awareness to your forehead, to your eyes, to your ears. To your nose, your cheeks, noticing any sensations or vibrations, your lips. Maybe you can relax them, relax your tongue, unclench your teeth, let your jaw go, notice any sensations there. Back of your head, moving down the back of your neck, the front of your throat. Let it relax, just noticing. Your right shoulder, right arm, right hand. Left shoulder, left arm, left hand. The front of your chest, your abdomen, and your pelvis. Back of your neck, the back of your back. Mid-back, low-back. Your buttocks. Your genitals. Right leg. Right foot. Left leg. Left foot. Be the witness of your whole body. What are you feeling? Can you feel your heart beating? And then, starting with your feet, coming up from the earth, let your body be filled with a white light swirling up your legs. This light is healing. You can call upon it anytime. It's filling your legs, your pelvis, your abdomen. Bright white healing light filling your chest, swirling through your arms, up your neck and filling your face and your head. This light is calming and healing. We can call upon this light anytime. It's pushing out any disease. The body knows how to heal itself. And then go ahead and bring your awareness back to your heart center. And I want you to ask yourself this question: what brings me joy? What brings me joy? And then take a moment here and listen. Perhaps an image will come into your mind. Joy is not something that's ahead of us. Joy is something that is within, something that we go inward. It's in this moment. It's the simple things. It's our friends. It's a cold drink. It's a simple laughter. Maybe eye-to-eye contact with another person that we care about. And so what I offer up in this meditation to you this morning is, as you go through the rest of the day, you take a moment to notice the simple joy. Reach out and touch it. Own it. And most importantly, share it. And then at your own pace, when you're ready, you can open your eyes. Any questions or comments? Because we got like a minute and then we're off to find our joy. All good. Does someone need to turn this off?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's it. Thank you guys. We're going to Let's just go ahead and have a moment of silence for the still suffering addict. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, guys.
That was great.
Thank you.
My role in my life, guiding me in my recovery, showing me how to